Hey, everybody, thank you so much for being with us today. It's Tuesday. This is Speak Up. My name is Barbara, and my guest today is former State Senator Scott Herndon. He is also the chair of the Republican Central Committee right here in Bonner County. You know, we have a lot of issues that we want to talk about today, ranging from state budgets, particularly state budget cuts, hallelujah, and maybe possible tax relief, property tax or grocery tax. And we're also going to take a look at state laws affecting those who have access to locker rooms, shower rooms, and bathrooms in the state of Idaho. You know, a reminder for all of you, and I know you know and are celebrating, today is Veterans Day, honoring all of our veterans, our past veterans, our currently serving military men and women. And I want to say thank you again to Tom Lindley and Derek Stevens, who were on with me last week. Both veterans, both serving our communities, continuing to serve our communities right here in Bonner County. And I also want to remind you there are free lunches and dinners available at the Hoot Owl. And at Sweet Lou's, all of their locations, and Katrina's Tacos. She's got some tacos for you. Just want to say salute and thank you. That's the way they want to express their gratitude. Okay, everybody, stay with us through our first commercial break, and we will be right back after this.
Winter is coming. Is your car ready? Don't forget your winter checklist. That small rock chip in your windshield can turn into a big crack in cold weather. Specialty Auto Glass reminds you to repair those chips before it's too late. Whether it's a quick fix or a full replacement, their expert team will get you back on the road safely. Stop by Specialty Auto Glass, located on Schweitzer Plaza Drive. A repair today could save you money tomorrow.
High deductibles and copays shouldn't stand in the way of your health. This is why Bonner General Health is now offering cash pay options for CT and MRI scans. The program offers clear, affordable pricing with no hidden fees, so you can access the scans you need when you need them. It's designed for everyone, insured, underinsured, or uninsured. Don't let cost or red tape delay your care. Call 208-265-1285 today to learn about our cash pay options. Bonner General Health, putting your health and your peace of mind first.
The Co-op Gas and Supply Company is a true farm cooperative and has been for 91 years. The health and relevance of any cooperative is tied directly to the governing body, which listens to the voting membership. The Co-op Gas and Supply Company is actively pursuing voting members to join and participate in the governance of the company. If you are an agricultural producer, which includes farming and timber, you have the opportunity to become a voting member of the cooperative. Voting membership requires the acquisition of one share of common stock in the company. One share equals one vote on business, which comes up at the annual meeting. For more information on how to acquire stock and how to qualify as a producer, please call 208-263-6820. We look forward to speaking with you about this important membership opportunity. The Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 208-263-6820.
Add warmth and ambience to your home or update your drafty old fireplace with a new efficient wood, pellet, or gas heater from the Stove Corral. Your local dealer of Lopi, Fireplace Extraordinaire, and DaVinci. Upgrade your old wood burner now. The 30% federal tax credit ends this year. On McNerney Road off Kootenai Cutoff in Ponderay. Take comfort in knowing they install and service what they sell. You are the heart of your home. Let them keep you warm. The Stove Corral.
Step into an evening of music and magic at the Festival of Trees Christmas Jubilee Concert. Saturday, November 30th at The Hive, enjoy holiday classics performed by the Bonner's Ferry Community Orchestra. Explore our Christmas shop. Tickets are just $20. Seats are limited. Presented by the Community Resource and Vision Center and proudly supported by Numerica Credit Union. Learn more at crecidaho.com/festivalofTrees.
North Idaho's Radio 97.1.
Oh, right, everyone. Welcome in. As promised, we have Senator Scott Herndon. I can call you Senator as a former senator, exactly, to honor your service. Scott Herndon is here with us. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure, Barbara. Thanks for having me.
All right. We're just going to jump right in. I am fascinated with the littles, and I guess it came through the legislature, that all of the government agencies, beginning in the last budget cycle, I know, the next one, they have to reduce their baseline request by 3%, and this goes through 2027. I think that's a good thing. What do you say?
Well, first, I just want to say the reason that he's doing it right now isn't because we know for a fact that state revenues, which of course are tax revenues, so this is primarily, there's a lot of different fees that the government charges, there's a lot of different taxes. Tobacco taxes, cigarette taxes, gas taxes, a lot of fees, licensing fees. The core tax revenues come in the form of corporate and personal income tax and sales tax. So the government between those two is taking in $6 billion in the state of Idaho. So, and I'm just summarizing, give a nice round number so people can remember. Now, the way that the legislature sets the budget for the next fiscal year is they project what those tax revenues are going to be in January, and they're looking out a whole nother year and a half, technically, because of when our fiscal year ends. It's not December. It's actually June 30th. So they're always planning far ahead. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's unpredictable. If we're in a changing interest rate environment, especially if Trump is running the big, beautiful bill that's also going to impact tax revenues at the state level, sometimes it's just a cash flow issue where 1 month is down a little bit on tax receipts and then we're going to make up for it later in the year. So to be conservative right now, the governor is just saying, hey, we want to make sure that none of our agencies run out of money. And so he wants them to hold back 3% of their budget to make sure that we get a more solid picture.
So we're holding back money. We're not reducing the actual budget requirement for, you know, a year and a half down the road. I know I read reduction, but it's a holdback.
It's a holdback. So it's not the legislature appropriated what they appropriated. And the agencies, if the revenue is there, have the authority to spend that money. The budgets have not been reduced, technically speaking.
I am so beyond disappointed. Because my idea on that long-term projection, reduce your base budget request by a legit 3%. And if a year and a half down the road, you know, it's tight, then live with it. We did. In other environments where you froze positions and you didn't, you just did different things to stay where you said you would be.
If an agency runs out of money, they certainly can't spend it. So if the tax revenues don't come in at the expected level and we're short, they're not going to be able to spend money, even though it was appropriated. But I just want to have listeners keep in mind.
Exactly.
Do you know what our two major budget items are in Idaho, Barbara?
Well, Medicaid. And education.
Hit the top two.
And so. I know education is exempt from this holdback thing.
Right. Well, the thing about public education is it's constitutionally mandated. So the thing about Medicaid, it is not constitutionally mandated, and it now consumes, out of our total state budget, which also includes federal revenues, of about $14 billion. Again, I'm just using a nice simple number. Medicaid is $6 billion of the $14 billion. And Medicaid expansion, which voters passed in 2018, and we were told it was going to be $70 million, is now going to be $1.3 billion. And so we're talking about big money that's being spent on public programs that are not historical in Idaho. So before 2018, we didn't have Medicaid expansion. So there's $1.3 billion. So when the public education people complain about that, well, they think that their budget isn't enough, and their budget is substantially more than it was 5 years ago. Substantially more. We grow it every year.
It's a big percent of the overall budget.
But when they complain, in public education, and they try to point to this little $50 million school choice program that was just passed. The real problem is not the school choice program, which also goes toward education. The real problem is free health care provided by the government. And of course, there's no such thing as free health care. And Obamacare, which was the Affordable Care Act, as we can see in the headlines lately like crazy, it turns out it is not affordable. And healthcare costs are skyrocketing, going through the roof.
I think they knew it wasn't going to be affordable. They knew it was going to. They lied. And whoever the people were for that expanded, I mean, I was here when those petitions were going around, and it was going to be happy la la land for everyone. It wasn't going to cost that much money, and these people need this help, and la la la. It's just like ranked choice voting. It was just like lies surrounding it. And then here we are with the reality. It is draining our money away from education.
And it's taking it away from a lot of other things.
Healthcare.
Ultimately, it's going to take
hospitals.
It away from road projects. It's going to take it away from bridge projects. Because what happened is...
So how do we get it under control? How do we cut back on Medicaid?
So I would suggest, unfortunately, once you give people free stuff, and Medicaid expansion is free healthcare for able-bodied working-age population.
Yes.
If you give people free stuff and then you try to claw it back, people say, you're taking something away.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an uproar.
You are taking something away.
There was a new school lunch program that came about during the pandemic, and when we took it away when I was in the Senate, certain people screamed, they're starving the children. It was a brand new lunch program only for the pandemic. And when we took it away, all of a sudden we're the bad guys. And this is the problem. And the problem with healthcare in particular is we've made the government the biggest single payer. And when you have one big single payer and you don't have market competition, prices are going to go up. And so that's the problem we have with healthcare. And what do we have to do about it? Americans, Idahoans, are going to probably have to get used to the idea that we cannot afford at the public's expense every single program that we can invent. And if something looks like it was a bad idea and it's not fulfilling the purpose it was intended to fulfill, which is to lower healthcare costs, then we have to consider rescinding those programs.
Don't you think the majority of people, the ones who are out here screaming, you're killing our kids because you're taking away this extra lunchy program? I mean, they're the minority. So I want my legislators and you, I want you to be, I hope you're reelected, and other good men and women to do what the majority want you to do. Just do it and take the slings and arrows.
I agree with you. Now, I think they are the minority. However, when they scream a narrative over and over again, mm-hmm. it's up to the rest of us who are fiscally conservative and responsible and care about how our tax money is being spent to be knowledgeable enough to not buy into that narrative, because people do get fooled.
Yes.
And they get fooled at election time. And then they vote for big government spenders at election time. And then we are continuing to see our country go off the cliff, $38 trillion and counting on national debt right now. I'm sure I was in this room at one point when it was $31 trillion.
Yeah, I was going to say it was under 30. I remember back then it was like 20, but that was before Biden. Biden like jumped us by like $10 billion from 20 to 30 in round numbers.
When I graduated from university, it was $1 trillion. So
that was a long time ago.
Don't age me, Barbara.
So I just think that, yes, I agree. We all, speaking for myself, must be more knowledgeable as we can be, take the time, and then push back, yell back. We do hesitate to do that, to write the letter to the editor or whatever is the pushback. But the people on the other side, that minority, they don't hesitate at all. They're just in your face. I've had people in my face with fingers in my nose, and they don't care. They're just telling me the lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So the budget. I suppose there's some good to that 3%, that if the funds aren't there, they can't, even if they have the allocation, they can't spend it. It'd be nice if we could have a real 3% reduction.
Well, let me tell you what was good.
Okay.
And there are going to be some legislators who are closer to the center of the political spectrum who disagree with this. We have passed numerous tax cuts over the last several years. When I was in 2023, we passed tax cuts. In 2024, we passed tax cuts.
We did a big property tax
adjustment. We did. And so you're going to see that again this month. When you get your tax bill, you're going to see a credit for House Bill 521 and House Bill 292 that amounts to still 15% reduction on your property taxes. And what that means, that's your local taxation. But the state government is picking up that cost. So it's a real reduction on the cost that government costs you right now, Barbara. And then we also did income tax reductions. And we did an income tax reduction in the legislature earlier this year in 2025. And what that does is it does take money off of the government's table, because if we don't collect those tax revenues because we lowered the rates, then they can't grow government as fast. So here's the secret that most people don't know. The governor won't even tell you, honestly, because he'll focus on the general fund. And he will say things at a state of the state address like, my budget only grows state government 2%. Mm-hmm. Well, it actually grows at 9 to 11% every single year. But what they're doing is they're cooking the books. Instead of allowing the monies to flow into the general fund, they have increasingly, to where now over 50% of state revenues never hit the general fund, and they go to other dedicated funds and special places.
Just go directly to whatever. You know, this just disheartens me. And because it's, you know, cooking the books, I thought was against the law. I thought if you cook your books as a business person to avoid taxes, or, well, that'd be the big reason to not have all of your income showing for the tax man, it's against the law. If you get caught, you get fined, you go to jail, whatever. Yeah. And yet our government does it just like it's business as usual.
Their debits and credits are okay. Everything that they're doing is lawful. However, yeah, it is not honest.
It's not moral.
It's not honest, because when he stands up there and he tells you we're only growing the general fund expenditures, most people think we're only growing government expenditures, where the general fund is now less than half of what we spend. So he's getting you to focus on this egg over here. And meanwhile, you got all these other legal eggs over here that he's not having you focus on. Mm-hmm. And he's misinforming you. He is deceiving
you. Exactly. Yes, exactly. We have to keep having you on so you can tell us about all those big eggs over here. I think you mentioned school choice. Would you say 50 million? And I think public education, government education screamed at even that small morsel. When can we, do you think we will ever have true school choice where the money per student follows the student, whether they're in public education, private, and does not have to be faith-based? It could be the Waldorf or Sandpoint Christian or homeschool.
Well, first let's talk about public schools to give you an idea. That $50 million that they just passed in a school choice program called a refundable tax credit, which is now available if people want to apply for it, that would pay for private school, homeschool materials, and things of that nature. That compares to the total public school budget in Idaho of $3.5 billion. So it's a really small piece right now. In fact, if we ran the percentage, it's
under 1%.
So it's small. And what that means is we would have a long way to go to not have our current funding formula. Even people who think the public school system is doing great don't like how schools are funded. Mm. It's problematic. It's a big, people will talk about accountability.
Because of the attendance?
It's attendance-based.
Yeah.
And the way it works is they look at all the kids in the state, 300,000 school-age kids in the state that are going to public school, and then they divide them up into what are called support units, which is basically a teacher classroom. It's a teacher with 20-something students. And that's how they fund the schools. And when people talk about accountability, there is no accountability for performance, so the outcomes. So it doesn't matter if kids can't read or can't do math, they still get the money at the public school. So there is no actual accountability to educational outcomes, educational performance, success. And so right now, today, in Idaho, every year, we're turning out only 40% reading proficiency at grade level in 8th grade and 12th grade. In 12th grade, you're graduating from high school.
You know, 12th grade, I have had professors from the U of I on, this is a few years ago, who were just desperate. With students coming in to like English 101, it's really rhetoric 101, and they couldn't even write, they could not write a coherent essay. Look at the beginning, a middle, and an end. They just were clueless. How is this possible? Well, it's possible for what you said. We don't take success points, reading scores, math scores into account when we fund somebody.
And we are the same as every other state.
I don't know how to set that up, though.
We're the same as every state.
Yeah.
So states that spend multiple times more money than we do per kid had the same poor results. I mean, those are poor results. If I were homeschooling my family, of which I do,
40%, yeah.
60% can't read at grade level when they graduate from high school. 60% are not proficient in math at grade level.
I was going to say it's at 50% math because I thought it'd be worse at math.
It's actually
without a calculator,
it's still in the 30 percentile. Lake Pondere School District is actually a little bit higher than the state average. So kudos to them. But
yes.
I'm saying kudos, and they still have 4 to 5 out of 10 students don't read at grade level.
Right.
So kudos. I don't know. It's not, the system
doesn't
work
others,
for everybody.
But that doesn't mean you're all that good.
Right. The system doesn't work for everybody. And so what we need to do is we need to come up with an education system that takes into account that every student is different. I've been studying Horace Mann from the 1830s, 1840s, 1850s. He's the guy who designed the current system, the Common School. So I'm reading these huge essays. He had this Common School journal that he would put out to convince people to put into the Constitution that we should have mandatory public education. And then every kid, he looked at public education as leveling the playing field of opportunity for everybody. But actually, that may have made sense in 1830 or 1840 when 99% of America was rural. But today, with the numerous education opportunities that we have, we're still on that same 1800s formula of how to raise up our kids and educate them. It doesn't work for today. This is 2025. We have massive computers right here in this phone I'm holding that have access to all the information in the world, and there's numerous ways that people can learn, and we really need to be doing a lot more of that than what we're doing. It's not working, obviously.
I know they all throw around the words, we have to take a break, but they throw around the words, you know, thinking, critical thinking, you know, reasoning, but yet it doesn't, it's not happening. They're following just what you said, you know, that pattern. All right, we're up against a break. We're going to take that right now.
For nearly 100 years, Adams Tractor has helped Idaho get the job done, one to-do list at a time. As your local Kubota dealer in Lewiston and Spokane, we're proud partners of Vandal Athletics. Whether you're digging, mowing, or plowing the snow, Kubota equipment delivers the muscle, and Adams backs it with hometown service you can trust. Visit AdamsTractor.com today. Adams Tractor, nearly a century strong, powered by Kubota, proud to back the Vandals.
The Forge Artisan Pizza in Sandpoint offers a wide variety of pizza styles, fresh baked sourdough bread, delicious appetizers, interesting salads, beers on tap, fantastic wines, and canned cocktails. At the Forge Pizza, we make all of our food in-house and from scratch using nothing but organic Italian flour from a small mill outside of Rome, Italy, and local ingredients. The Forge Pizza, 306 Pine Street, open Thursday through Monday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Do you know how much you're really paying for life insurance through work? I can almost guarantee you're overpaying for limited coverage. I'm Joel Clark, a SelectQuote agent for over 20 years. My clients are shocked to learn how expensive life insurance at work really is because of a rate that's driven up by unhealthy people. Why pay more when you don't have to? For over 35 years, SelectQuote has helped people save 50% or more by shopping highly rated insurance carriers. I found a 40-year-old man with high blood pressure, a $500,000 policy, for only $18 a month. Don't procrastinate. Workplace open enrollment will be here soon. Let SelectQuote save you money and get you the coverage you need to protect your family.
For your free quote in just minutes, call 1-800-460-2211. 1-800-460-2211. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-460-2211. 1-800-460-2211.
Details of example rate at SelectQuote.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back in. We've got it going on today with former State Senator Scott Herndon. He is the chair of the Republican Central Committee, and he's here with you today to help us understand, you know, a lot of these issues, Scott, that we talk about really are, they're gnarly because state law is complicated. I don't think it should be that complicated, but layer upon layer, year upon year, it gets complicated. So let's go back to property tax, because a lot of people want property tax gone. They want that burden on their individual property liability to go over here to state government coffers. What? How do you explain that to people? What do you think is the right thing to do?
Okay, we're just about to get notices later this month from Clarissa Koster, who's the Bonner County Treasurer, and she's going to send out your property tax bill. So this is going to be your bill. And most people are paying property taxes with their mortgage payments. So if you own, and I don't even know what's an average home around here anymore. They're so expensive, but
start with the fours.
Right. So $400,000 to $500,000 home. Your property tax bill every year is $2,000 to $2,500. That's probably pretty common around here. We could ask Clarissa what that exact number is. But the bottom line is, for me, I'm gonna get a bill this month and I don't have a mortgage, and so I'm gonna have to write a check in December before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Is when I have to go down to the Bonner County Treasurer's office and actually pay my property taxes.
At least half of it.
Yeah, at least half. And then if you don't pay by June the second half, then they actually assess you interest back to December. But that's another thing. So I actually just write a check for the whole thing. That way I don't have to remember. And then, so that's $2,500 out the door. Mm-hmm. And what that funds is, it funds all of your local governments. It funds, if you're in Sandpoint, it funds the city. It funds Bonner County. It funds Bonner County EMS. It funds your fire districts, the libraries, the county commissioners, your local governments.
The hospital.
Yep. So that's all local. That's how we pay for local government. Now, we also pay sales tax. Every time we go to the store, we're paying sales tax on everything that we buy, including food. And we pay at the rate of 6%, but Ponderay just passed the local option tax. So now it's going to be 7% at Walmart. It's going to be 7% at Home Depot. So now Ponderay is going to pay 7%. If you shop there, you will pay 7% every time you shop.
Yeah, I know, but we're in favor of that. And I'll explain why when you
stop. So that money goes to the state. And that pays for state government, and some of it comes back and pays for some city government, municipal corporations. Now, there's a third type of tax we pay, and everybody knows about this, April 15th every year. We pay income tax, and not only do we pay the federal government income tax, but most of us pay more, depending on how many kids you have, to state government. So we pay, and that goes to the state, and that pays for roads, so, and pays for public education, pays for Medicaid expansion, the things we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So we're paying three major types of tax. Never mind that every time you fuel up, you pay a significant amount in gas tax. But I'll leave all that stuff off.
I know, gas tax. So property Sales tax, income tax.
There you go. Okay. Those are the three major legs of the taxing stool. That's where most of our government gets funded by far. Okay. In my opinion, the one that people hate the most is property tax, because you never really own your home. Here you work hard, you get a 30-year mortgage, 15-year mortgage, you finally pay off your house, and now you have to continue to pay the government to fund local government, or they can come and take your house. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line with property tax. Now, interestingly enough, property tax is the oldest tax in Idaho. Started way before we became a state. Hmm. It was the only tax back then. Hmm. Actually, there were other interesting taxes, but it was the only tax back then. And later came income tax in the 1930s, and sales tax came in the 1960s. So, but the one people hate the most
is,
you can ask,
tax.
When I was in the Senate, yes. I didn't get calls about chemtrails as much as I got calls about property taxes. The problem is we have an older population in Bonner County. Many of them are on fixed incomes. Inflation is ravaging the value of their dollar. Mm-hmm. Social Security's not keeping up. We have an affordability crisis because everything costs so much more than it used to.
Listen, food and gas.
Everything.
That is, you know.
And that's probably because of the federal government mismanaging monetary policy and a lot of other things. So people feel very threatened. They feel unsafe, insecure in their own property. So I would propose we get rid of property taxes just because it's the one that people hate the most.
And get rid of it means move it over to one of those funds that Little doesn't want us to
know
about.
And some people will claim.
Where are they going to get the money, though? If we're not paying property tax, are they going to raise my income tax and they're going to raise sales tax?
Well, so interestingly enough, you actually don't have to raise both of those taxes, because over a short number of years, at the rate that we're currently growing government expenditures, you could actually, instead of continuing to grow all your other budgets and the 180 agencies that we pay for in Idaho, all these different government services,
I can't
you can actually just pay the local governments, pay for the property taxes so that we don't have to. And eventually you would, just because the state's growing and the economy is growing, in 5 to 10 years, you would have enough to pay for everybody's property taxes. Let's give you a picture. Okay. Property taxes are only $2
billion. So growth will pay for it.
The state would pay for it.
The
state treasurer would pay for the local governments as well. Right now, property taxes in Idaho I'm going to use simple numbers, are only $2 billion a year. The state government's budget is $14 billion a year. So we're only talking about $2 billion out of $14 billion. Remember, Medicaid is $6 billion.
Especially if they would control some of these other expenses they don't want us to know about, these commissions. And it burns my brain.
So think about all your local.
They can pay. In other words, the money is there to pay for all of our property taxes if they just do it.
True.
They, being the state legislators and the governor, would just do it.
Yeah, the money is there through growing the economy, which we've been doing phenomenally for many years. The money is there to literally fund local government. And then that burden would be off of you. You would no longer get that property tax bill that you now have to go write a check or pay it every month in your mortgage.
But the state's getting the money through business licenses and income tax and all this other money they have. Okay, I want to say something real quick about sales tax. I had Mayor Steve Geiger on, Mayor of Ponderoy. And so the 6% tax, that's the Idaho tax, they, Ponderoy, now I'm going to have to just kind of use some example numbers, but they send millions and millions and millions of dollars to the state of Idaho because of Walmart and North 40, and there's a lot of big business going on at Walmart. Oh, my goodness. And what the city of Ponderoy, because they're this little tiny population, they get like, I don't know, $35,000 back. Millions go. But on the 1%, which is that local option sales tax, they get all of it. Mm-hmm. So don't begrudge them that 1%, because then they can, that money is theirs. It doesn't go to the state. It stays in Ponderay, and they can fund some of the things they want to fund, because the state is so unfair to them with all this other sales tax they're collecting, and they don't get very much of anything back.
It's because Ponderay is this unique, really small city with a lot of retail
sales. I know, yes. But somebody needs to give them some
money back. Sandpoint Building Supply, probably tens of millions of dollars a year. Home Depot,
Walmart,
huge. Car dealerships, huge. So the point is, you have these big retail businesses that have sales tax, but you have very few people who actually live there, and the amount they get back is based on the number of people who live
there.
That
was like their motto, the little community or something with a big future, with a big tax base, but
right.
They're not getting back. All right, we're up against our last break. We're going to take that break right now.
Accidents happen, and when they do, more people reach out to Northwest Auto Body. Consistently voted the best auto body shop in the region, we offer guaranteed repairs by certified technicians using only state-of-the-art equipment. Our locally owned collision facilities have been serving North Idaho for nearly 50 years. Find us online or just stop on by. No appointments needed, no charge estimates, and advice is just good customer service. Remember, Northwest Auto Body in Sandpoint, Ponderay, and now in Bonner's Ferry.
The Rusty Trunk in Ponderay is having a growth spurt. We opened the door to the back room and invited more fabulous vendors and their treasures to our vintage family. Come shop early for the holidays with our busting out of the seams sales and welcome our newbies. The Rusty Trunk opened Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Main Street in Bonner's Ferry, and Kootenai Cutoff in Ponderay. Come discover your new favorite place to shop, the Rusty Trunk.
The Co-op Gas and Supply Company is a true farm cooperative and has been for 91 years. The health and relevance of any cooperative is tied directly to the governing body, which listens to the voting membership. The Co-op Gas and Supply Company is actively pursuing voting members to join and participate in the governance of the company. If you are an agricultural producer, which includes farming and timber, you have the opportunity to become a voting member of the cooperative. Voting membership requires the acquisition of one share of common stock in the company. One share equals one vote on business, which comes up at the annual meeting. For more information on how to acquire stock and how to qualify as a producer, please call 208-263-6820. We look forward to speaking with you about this important membership opportunity. The Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 208-263-6820.
Now is the best time to have a stove corral. Replace that old poor performing wood stove with a new high efficiency Blaze King. Experience a much longer burn time while consuming 30% less wood. Blaze King manufactures the three most efficient wood stoves in the world. Sound too good to be true? Come by the Stove Corral to learn more about the Blaze King difference and the 30% tax credit. Located in Ponderay. Open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come by the Stove Corral.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Win and save with Lucky Number Tuesday at Bi-Mart. Just by matching your ending number, you can win Fran's English muffins. Plus, save with Tuesday-only pricing and buy them for just $1.99 each. Win and save with Lucky Number Tuesday at Bi-Mart.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. We have got a wonderful show going on for you. I hope you're enjoying it. This is live broadcast going on, live on our online northidahoradio.com, but you can also go in about, 24 hours or so to northidahoradio.com, and you can listen to a recording of this if you've missed any part of it or you want to listen again to some of the details that Scott Herndon has shared with us. You can find it there. It will be at northidahoradio.com, live audio. Just kind of navigate around. You'll find Speak Up, and that's me, and that's this. All right, Scott. There's been so much going on now about what happened at the locker room at the YMCA and what is the law in Idaho regarding gender at birth or gender by what you think you are.
Okay, so let's cover what the law is. So Jennifer Hook went into the locker room at the YMCA, the female multi-use locker room where there'd be more than one female in there. And she discovered, she was the lifeguard there and she discovered a man in the locker room dressed like a woman, but a man. And the YMCA confirmed that that happened. And the YMCA has confirmed they have a ridiculous policy. Ridiculous. Insane. Doesn't matter what your political party is. It's insanity that they allow a man who claims that he identifies as a woman. This is modern insanity.
I know.
When we were growing up, this was not part of the culture. This is introduced. It's not truth. It's unreal.
Yeah.
And it's offensive. It's offensive to women. It's offensive to girls. I have five daughters. I have a wife. I do not want them to see a man in their locker room. Women feel unsafe. They feel violated if there is a male in their locker room.
Absolutely.
And we should protect them from having that experience. Now, what does state law say? We have two criminal laws that work in this area but don't exactly cover the subject. And one of them is what we would commonly refer to as peeping Tom laws. You can't be looking in someone's house to see them exposed, undressed, etc. And that's a privacy trespassing law. It's a misdemeanor, and you can be prosecuted. And then we have indecent exposure laws. And that is a misdemeanor on first offense. You can't expose yourself if you're the opposite biological sex. There's only two biological sexes, male and female. Let's make that point. There are no others. And we don't want the tyranny of the minority, people who think that they can be something else, to tyrannize everybody else, which is what happened at the YMCA.
Yes.
And the indecent exposure law is a misdemeanor on first offense and a felony if you commit a second offense within 5 years. This is how we treated these types of subjects. Now we have this new phenomenon known as transgender within the last 15 years in our society. We need a new criminal law, because if you read the indecent exposure law and if you read the peeping Tom law, it doesn't exactly fit. We need a new criminal law so that our prosecutor can prosecute you and anybody at the YMCA can testify that you were in the wrong locker room. And my point would be, it wouldn't be just because you exposed yourself or because you went in there to peek. It's if you knowingly use a facility, locker room and bathroom, that's accessible, that's a public accommodation, even if it's at a private business, of the opposite biological sex than you are, than the parts you have. And our law in Idaho defines male and female based on the biological facts of what your chromosomes are and what your parts are. And you can't surgically alter them because your chromosomes are never going to lie to us.
It doesn't have anything to do with like homosexuality, like sexual orientation or sexual attraction or heterosexual. It's who you are in biology, because you're either a man or a woman. That's just it. Why does the Y say then, they quote the YMCA, quote, Sandpoint law allows an individual to use the locker room that aligns with their gender identity, close quote. Why would they say that?
Because the YMCA is not telling the truth. Because Sandpoint, the city of, in 2011, passed an anti-discrimination ordinance that simply said that they cannot deny you public accommodation based on your this stupid thing called gender identity. But that doesn't mean, it does not also mean that you have the right to use the locker room of the opposite biological sex. It just means they can't deny you a membership.
Yeah.
They can accommodate
you. Or they can't deny you a job.
Right. And today, Sandpoint could comply with the YMCA could comply with Sandpoint's non-discrimination ordinance and say, okay, we're going to allow someone who's mentally ill and identify a man who identifies as a woman, or whatever reason he does that, for his sexual fetish or whatever the reason, mm-hmm. we're going to allow him to use our facility, but we're going to make him use a single-use locker room where there are no other people in that locker room. They have them. That's what they should do. And then they're still in compliance with Sandpoint Law. Sandpoint Law ordinance does not say that that man has a right to go into a multi-use locker room with a bunch of females.
You just said that man. I don't care what he thinks he is or what he thinks he needs. He's a man, so he can use the men's bathroom, the men's locker room.
And why if he's uncomfortable...
Why isn't that just it? That should be full stop.
Because, Barbara, that would be common sense. And common sense has vacated the YMCA management today.
Apparently.
I speak plainly on this subject. This is so offensive to people. It has nothing to do with whether you're Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or Independent. This should not be allowed. And there's a way to accommodate this guy.
I don't even want to accommodate him.
Right. But if he doesn't feel comfortable using the male locker room either, then go use the single-use locker room or change it home.
Yeah.
Now, it turns out this guy was a guest. He wasn't even a member.
I don't care.
I know. But the point is like, we're not doing this.
Exactly.
And the YMCA is being gutless, and I mean gutless to allow. Yeah.
I think it's because they're organization is Washington, and so they're getting a lot of pressure from
they can make a local decision. This is offensive to this community. It's offensive even to the people, no matter which side of the political spectrum you are here in Sandpoint.
Go ahead,
this
make
is
a
offensive
good decision and let Washington do what they want.
Let me emphasize to the YMCA, women feel violated. They're emotionally traumatized when these things happen. Do you care about those women? You should. Mm-hmm. Girls, there are girls there. Now, the things we do have in state law is at the public schools, you can't use the bathroom of the opposite biological sex. I supported that bill in 2023.
So the schools are safe.
Correctional facilities are safe. And colleges and universities are safe.
The YMCA is doing then.
They're going to claim, well, we're a private business.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You can't commit obscene things even in a private business.
Why is it always somebody, some guy who wants to get into the women's locker room? Is the reverse ever happening where it's a woman over here, she thinks she's a man and she wants to go into the men's locker room? I don't know. I don't even want to answer that question. But it just always seems to be some guy.
Right. Now,
wants to
offend. Guys wanted to get into women's sports. We were the first state to pass the Fairness Women's Sports Act. By the way, if you're at the YMCA.
I'm so proud of that.
Yeah, if you're at the YMCA and this happens again, everybody should make a public statement right then and there.
Just like Jennifer
stop what
did.
You're doing and go, and everybody in the gym, go in this pool, go to the management and say, we want this person out of the locker room now. I guarantee if that happened, you can be respectful, you can be polite, but we're not going to tolerate this. Mm-hmm. And they will change their policy. But I think the law needs to be changed as well. We ought to make it a crime. This is a criminal act.
Do you think that can happen in the next legislative session? This is hot enough issue, a button issue that, like you say, it really is an R and D. It's everyone should be on board with this.
I'm drafting the legislation right now for someone to carry in the next session. So
yes. All right. So is it true that you are considering or you are going to seek again the Senate seat in Idaho at the primary level?
That is true. It's not the best job in the world, but it's an important job.
And it is.
The Republican primary election is now just about 6 months away. It's May 19th, 2026. And so I would be running for that race. And so that date of election on Tuesday, May 19, 2026, is the important date. And there's a lot of other things that are on the ballot then, but that is true.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to let that be the last word for today, because if I ask another question, I'll go long.
Okay. You sure you don't want to talk about the time zone?
I do want to talk about daylight savings time.
So right now, states cannot change to daylight savings time permanently. Federal law, the Uniform
standard?
Time Act.
Can they change the standard time?
They can.
Well, let's do that then. I like standard time. It's the way we've been for millennia. All right, everybody, that is the program today. Thank you, Senator Scott Herndon, for being with us today. Lots of good information. Next week, Dave Bowman, a volunteer and fire commissioner with Northside Fire District, will be here to address what may happen as a result of the levy being defeated again. Lots of really good information on that. You know, I love America and encourage you and your family to explore the abundant information available on all of the organizations, America 250, America 250 Idaho, lots of programs and material. So this is the ongoing 250th birthday celebration of the founding of America. Today's quote is from Thomas Jefferson. He said, quote, "A well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny." I can say amen to that. So until next Tuesday, this is Barbara reminding us all to slow down out there, to love each other, and may God bless America, and may God bless all of our military men and women.